Our brothers and sisters in Christ, two things I want to say to you before I give the message this morning. First is, even though you know where my office is, please don't protest outside my office. I'll give you Lester's home address if you want to do that. And secondly, the Lord be with you. And so God, we want to come before you this morning. I just want to give thanks for your goodness, for your care, and for your sustenance in our lives. Lord, continue to feed us today through your word. Continue, Lord God, to give us that strength and the encouragement we need to live this life for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What is something personal that you had to wait for in your life, in which you felt like it took forever? It took forever before it came to be. Or you may not even have experienced that yet. You're still waiting for that. What is that one thing? Think about that even as we go through this message today. Now, we wait for many things in life, don't we? Whether it's waiting to finish school and to finally get your degree or your diploma. You know, I still remember those days. I remember vividly that day when I finished my architecture degree, April 1986. Sorry, the slide's not working, but you can put it up when you get a chance. 30 years ago this month, after 7 years of working hard and studying the late nights and just really doing my best, attending classes and writing exams, what a great feeling it was to finally finish my university education 30 years ago. And as you know, God called me back into ministry. And I went for some more schooling. And 8 years ago, oops, this is not really working. I don't know why. 8 years ago, my friends and I, we celebrated, these crazy brothers of mine, we celebrated another graduation in which I graduated from seminary. And some of you, you've graduated as well this past year. What a great feeling that must be. You could be waiting to get a job, waiting to get moving on in your career, waiting to fall in love, waiting to get engaged. Most of you know this took place, this is last week, right? I have Aaron and Kim's permission to show this. What was he thinking? He didn't even ask the question. He just said, marry me. I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy for Jansen and Shirley. I can't wait for them to have grandchildren. Have you seen Jansen hold a baby before? He's perfect to be a grandfather one day. You may be waiting to have a child, waiting to start a family, waiting to buy a house. Do you know the average house price in Vancouver, a detached home, is $1.83 million these days? Some of us may be waiting a long time. We could be waiting to recover from a sickness or an illness, waiting to receive news from the medical team as to how to treat our illness, waiting for the pain, the sadness of losing a loved one to go away, to heal from that emptiness, that loneliness that we feel deep inside our soul. We could be waiting for a career advancement, a job change, or even a work promotion. And no matter what it is, waiting is hard. It's hard. At least it is for me. You see, in our day and age, with access to everything instant, and we have instant information, we can Google anything on Google, anytime, anywhere, any topic, with instant news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with instant communication. Did you know that back in the days when Deb and I went out, we were dating, we had a long-distance relationship. You know, she was living in Winnipeg, I was living in Vancouver, and it would take 3 to 4 days before our letters would reach one another. Imagine that, 3 to 4 days. I still kept some of them too. 3 to 4 days before we got some of these letters from each other. And if we were really desperate or things were important, we would send it special delivery. And we would receive it in 1 day's time. You send it noon today, you get it noon the following day. Imagine sharing your heart with someone. Imagine sharing your love for that person. Imagine sharing your longing for that person. Imagine sharing your feelings with that someone and taking 1 to 2 days before you get a reply. 1 to 2 days. I was reading through some of these letters yesterday, and I was saying, gee, Deb, you really loved me. Past tense, you really loved me. And she said, well, you know what? I see you every day now. Before we were apart. You know, there was no email. There was no text messaging. There was no Skype. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was no FaceTime. You know, there was no... What is that again? Sorry? WhatsApp, that's right. I don't use that much. Yes, we could call one another. And we did. But there was no cell phone. There was no cell phone plans. You could not call your favorite 5 people in Canada for free under a plan. You had to pay the bucks. You had to pay the rate, a per minute rate, to tell us. Actually, back then it was BC Tel. $1 a minute. We have access to everything instant. Instant information, instant news, instant communication, instant videos and music downloads. Do you remember the days? Who remember the days when you used to have to rent videos? You go to a video store, you rent it, and after watching it, you return it to the store the next day. Those of you under 30, you probably don't remember. Instant books, instant clothing, instant shopping online. We have everything instant. We don't like to wait. We don't like delays in anything. I don't know how many of you can relate to this. We blast our horn at cars in front of us as soon as the light turns green. We don't even give it a second or two. We're honking the car in front of us. If you're like me, I start rolling my car even when I see the traffic light on the other side turning yellow, turning red. We're a society that expects instant replies to our emails, instant gratification, instant solutions to complex problems and issues in life. Why do we find it so hard to wait? We want things now. We're anxious, we're impatient, we lose trust in ourselves. We lose trust in others. We lose trust in God. Even. We find it hard to keep persevering. We get discouraged. We lose our thankfulness. We become critical, hard, confused, self-absorbed. We're disappointed and frustrated with the way that things are. We may even ask ourselves, does God even care? If he's truly a God who's all-powerful, if he's truly a God who's all-loving, if he's truly a God who's all-knowing and all-present, then why can't he change my situation? Why doesn't he do anything? Dear brothers and sisters, in our spiritual life, God calls us to wait. He calls us to wait. But why? Why is waiting part of our faith journey? What possible benefit could there be in waiting? In waiting a prolonged period of time? What does waiting do? Well, first, waiting helps us to strengthen in faith. It helps us to strengthen in faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Like other kinds of trials, waiting is a testing of our faith. Our faith and trust in God is strengthened through our testing. It is stretched through our waiting. It's actually strengthened and stretched because pressures and outside forces cause us to realize just where, what, and who we put our faith in. When we find ourselves in an earthquake like the one we experienced last December, what do? We look for the sturdiest table to go under, right? When we find ourselves in a storm, in a crisis, in a flood, we look for higher ground. Likewise, when we're being tested and we need to wait, that which we put our faith in the most will be revealed. It'll be revealed to us and for everyone else around us to see. Waiting helps us to strengthen our faith because it causes us to place our trust in something greater than ourselves. Because we know that there's nothing we can do. We can't control the situation. A lot of times, it's out of our hands. Waiting helps us to strengthen in faith. Secondly, waiting helps us to finish in perseverance. Verse 4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let perseverance finish its work. Perseverance does a work in us. It does a work in our lives so that we can become spiritually mature and complete. Now, it's when we put our faith in God. It is when we wait. It is when we persevere that God's work in us will be finished. But then, until then, we're still spiritually immature and spiritually incomplete. So to wait, to persevere, is a good thing. It molds us into maturity. It molds us into completeness. It molds us to become more like Jesus Christ, to purify our faith, to perfect our faith, to make us stronger Christians. You know, our character is forged in this period of waiting. It is forged in this period of waiting. It refines our faith, heating it in the crucible of suffering and waiting, so that any impurities, any imperfections are refined away, such that our intentions, such that our thoughts and even our desires become pure before the Lord. Now, there are many benefits to persevering in adversity. Many scholars of the Christian faith agree with this. Thomas Kempis says that perseverance in adversity cleanses us. Benedict of Nursia believes that it brings about humility in our lives. Malcolm Muggeridge notes that it allows us to be able to minister to others because we've been through it ourselves. We've experienced it ourselves. You know, the story of Joseph in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, is a story of perseverance. Because of their jealousy that Joseph would one day rule over them, Joseph's brothers had thrown him into a pit and then sold him into slavery. Though Joseph didn't understand what was going on, he trusted that the Lord would reveal his plan in his time. And so he worked faithfully in every situation that he was put in, waiting for God to fulfill the promise that he would be the leader of his people one day. Joseph continued to persevere, but he found himself in prison and being falsely accused of seducing his boss's wife. But in time, God lifted Joseph to great power and to great responsibility, as he was not only the leader of his people, but he became the leader of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. You see, perseverance was needed in order to accomplish God's purposes in the life of Joseph and in his nation. One commentator said this. He puts it this way. He says, Joseph went from the pit to the prison to the palace. Waiting helps us to strengthen in faith. Waiting helps us to finish in perseverance. And thirdly, waiting helps us to grow in patience. James 5, chapter 7 says this, verse 7 says this, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The author of this book, James, he's known as the Apostle of Faith. The Apostle of Faith. And he's always encouraging others to live out their faith in action. To not merely listen to the word, but to do what it says. That faith without deeds is dead. But here, James is saying that faith has another side to it. Not only is there an active doing to faith, but there's an active patience. There's an active waiting to faith as well. One that learns how to rely on. One that waits for plants to grow in their own time. Our responsibility as a farmer in God's field is to keep the plants watered and to allow the growth to happen in its time. We cannot rush it. We cannot rush into it. We're not to become anxious, not to be overly concerned about the speed or about the slowness of our faith journey. We're not to panic or fret, but rather we're to wait upon God's purposes for our lives. And so the story of Job is a story of perseverance. It is a story of patience in the Bible. The Lord allowed Satan to take away everything that Job had in order to prove Job's faithfulness. You see, Job was a wealthy man. He was a wealthy person. But then he lost his crops. He lost his property. He lost his cattle. He lost his servants. And then he lost the most valuable thing of all. He lost his children. But Job did not blame God. Rather, Job accepted God's plan for his life. And he waited for God's purpose to be revealed. Job's friends came to counsel him. They were trying to find out what sin he had committed in order to deserve the punishment that he'd received. But after much self-reflection, Job realized that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And in the end, God restored to Job twice that he originally had. And said in Job 42, verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. You see, waiting prepares our heart like a farmer prepares for the soil. We bear fruit. The Lord waits for us to bear fruit. The Lord waits. God Himself waits. It takes time for things to grow. Growth does not take place instantly. I like what Henry Nouwen wrote in this article, Deeply Rooted in God. He said this, trees that grow tall have deep roots. Great heights without great depth is dangerous. The great leaders of this world, like St. Francis, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr., were all people who could live with public notoriety, influence, and power in a humble way because of their deep spiritual rootedness. Without deep roots, we easily let others determine who we are. But as we cling to our popularity, we may lose our true sense of self. Our clinging to the opinion of others reveals how superficial we are. We have little to stand on. We have to be kept alive by adulation and praise. Those who are deeply rooted in the love of God can enjoy human praise without being attached to it. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. And He's preparing us. He's preparing our hearts and our desires as well in the process. We gain maturity. We gain completeness as we wait. Paul said this to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9. He said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We may be tired of doing good. You may be tiring of doing good. Tiring of doing good at work, in your jobs, in your workplaces, no one notices. Tired of doing good in your family, in our homes, with our children, our siblings, our parents, and our spouses. No one seems to appreciate or care. You may be tired of doing good in our community, in our church, and serving God and serving God's people. No one sees the results. But we are encouraged to persevere. We're encouraged to be patient because God is faithful. Our Lord is faithful. You know, farmers know that you cannot just plant a seed and expect it to harvest right away. There's a process involved. You have to prepare the soil. You have to plant the seed. You have to nurture it by watering, fertilizing, waiting until the harvest comes. You know, I like the story of the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree teaches us lessons about faith, perseverance, and patience. Like any tree, it requires nurturing, water, fertile soil, sunshine. And then we wait. We wait. I'd like to show you this video.
I'd like to introduce you to the miracle of Chinese bamboo. It all begins with a seed and with the vision of someone willing to wait. A Chinese farmer, usually struggling to survive and provide for his family, plants the seed and sets his hope and vision on all it will provide when it towers 90 feet above his head. With a heart toward the future, he digs hole after hole, plants the seeds, then begins their care. Day after day, he carries water to the spots he has marked. And because it's human nature to want to see results, he carefully inspects the spots every day. Nothing. Knowing he has to feed his family, he plants other crops, carefully sown around the spots that contain the real hope for his future. He continues to water them every day, feeding them carefully and watching. Nothing. The other crops sprout within weeks, providing nourishment for his family within months, but provide nothing for the future. These crops will not make his dreams come true. They will simply provide for the present. The Chinese bamboo seeds contain all his hopes, his dreams. A whole year goes by. Nothing. He continues to haul water. He stares endlessly at the spots but sees nothing but barren ground. His hopes, his dreams seem so very far away. There is no evidence of life. Has the seed rotted? Has it died before it ever had a chance to grow? Another year goes by. Nothing. His neighbors, those who don't know and believe in the miracle of the Chinese bamboo, laugh at him. They mock his vision for the future. They look on with scorn as he hauls buckets of water to the spots. He begins to question himself. Will it ever grow? Is he pouring water and his life's energy into something that will reap no reward for him? Another year goes by. Nothing. 3 years of pouring water, energy, and hope into the Chinese bamboo. Nothing to show for it. Yet he's heard of the miracle of the Chinese bamboo. He's heard of the huge rewards that come to those who believe. One day he stands over the spots and he cries his frustration and fears. The spots reveal nothing, the barren ground seeming to mock him. Yet the wind whispers hope to him. He sighs and hauls yet more buckets of water. Another year goes by. Nothing. 4 years. 4 years of hoping, wishing, and diligently tending his dream. Surely the miracle will happen now. His neighbors have quit laughing. They no longer even care. Yet they talk quietly among themselves of the farmer who isn't quite right. At this point, the farmer isn't even sure. Yet he's fallen into a habit, so he continues to water the spots. He continues to feed them. It's simply what he does now, with no knowledge of reward, just the simple, now unspoken hope that life resides beneath the spots he so carefully tends. Another year passes. Nothing. 5 years. The farmer is tired. Tired of hauling buckets. Tired of growing and tending so many other crops to feed his struggling family. Tired of trying to keep his dream alive. Tired of seeing no results day after day. He stares hopelessly at the spots. There cannot possibly be life after so many years. He must have watered them wrong. He must not have fed them correctly. If only he had done things differently, there would be growth. Despair rocks his soul. 5 years he has poured into his dream, into his hope for a better future. His dream mocks him. The vision of a better life for his family melts away under harsh reality. Tears fill his eyes as he grabs for the last hope residing in his soul and slowly lifts the bucket to pour water onto his dream. After 5 years, he realizes it would be folly to give up. Then comes the morning when the whole village is jolted awake by the cries of joy from the farmer. They watch startled from their windows as he runs down the dusty road calling for his family to come see. As his family races back up the road after him, the rest of the village pours from their houses to see what has this crazy farmer so excited. They find the family clustered around the spots, talking excitedly. From the edge of the road, they can see green sprouts thrusting out from the barren ground. They seem to be growing before their very eyes. The farmer is dancing. The miracle has happened, he cries. The miracle has come. The spots become the place for everyone in the village to come, watching in amazement as the bamboo grows and grows and grows. 5 feet, 10 feet, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. In just 6 weeks, the bamboo has grown 90 feet tall. 5 years of nothing, and now this, 90 feet in 6 weeks. It is truly a miracle. The farmer stands to the side. He is aware all his dreams have come true. The harvest of the bamboo will provide all he dreamed of for his family. The bamboo that will replace what is harvested, springing forth from the deep roots forming during the last 5 years, will provide for generations to come. He also realizes the lessons he has learned are far more valuable. He learned to plant a dream. He learned to do the daily things that would make it a reality. He learned to ignore those who said it couldn't happen. He learned to push past his own fear and doubt and keep taking action. He learned to have faith when there was no reason to have faith. Now he smiles every time he walks through the village. Everyone is hauling buckets of water to their own spots, gazing over at his towering 90 feet tall bamboo. They know what can happen because of him. Because of his willingness to blaze the trail and make his dream come true.
Our lives may resemble that of the Chinese bamboo. It's often discouraging. We do things right, but nothing happens. People make fun of us as we put in so much time, so much effort with little to show. We're tempted to quit. We're tempted to change jobs. We're tempted to change professions. We're tempted to change spouses. We're tempted to change churches because we don't see anything but barrenness all around us. Things just do not happen as quickly as we had hoped or planned for. Now, indeed, we may have waited a long time for the Lord to act, but God doesn't work according to our time frame or our schedules. The work that he does in our lives may take weeks. It may take months. It may take years. It may even take decades before we notice anything, any change, any growth, any movement. And so we may be wondering if God is doing anything at all. We don't see, we don't notice anything. There's no breakthrough in our lives. And we may be tempted to give up. But then, when God finally breaks through, we're blown away by what he does. We're blown away by what he has accomplished in our lives. You see, once farmers plant their seeds, there's nothing they can do to make the seeds grow. There's nothing that farmers can do to produce fruit. They must wait until the proper time when the harvest comes. And so, in what areas of life are you learning to strengthen in faith? In what areas of life are you learning to finish in perseverance? In what areas of life are you learning to grow in patience? What do we learn from waiting? We learn humility. We learn dependence upon God. We learn to rely on God's strength and not ours. We learn as well to be content in God's presence rather than in just his provision for our lives. To be content in God's presence and not just his provisions for us. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, you know our hearts today. You know the things that we have been waiting for a very long time. And some things, oh Lord God, you have definitely revealed it to us. You have answered us and you have blessed us, and we give thanks for those things. But yet, Lord God, there are other things in our lives that we're still waiting for, that we're still hoping for, that we're still asking you for faith, for perseverance, and for patience for. So God, with these things we bring before you, we lift them up to you, Lord God, the only one who can change things around for us. And so, Lord God, we entrust ourselves to you once again, knowing that your word is true, knowing that your promises are secure, knowing that our hope is in the future with you and in what you can do in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. Father, we pray for the wayward children that we may have in our lives. Some of them are young, some of them are older. Lord God, we pray that you would bring them unto yourself, that you would cause the seed of faith to grow in their hearts. We also pray for ourselves. We pray for areas in our lives where we just have no more patience left. We've lost all hope in what others say can or cannot happen. We want to entrust ourselves to you, Lord God, who can do more than all we can ever ask or imagine. And so, Father, would you do a good work in our own lives so that our faith will not weaken. But yet, Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen your people. Encourage us with your word each day. May we see, Lord Jesus, the blessings that you have for each one of us, if not in this world, then in the world to come. Help us not to lose hope in your word, your promises, and your plans and purposes for our lives. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to our hearts today. We thank you, God, that you are, even now, by your Spirit, comforting those who need your comfort. Help our faith to grow. Help our ability, Lord Jesus, to trust in you to increase tenfold. Allow us, Lord Jesus, to put our faith in the one and only secure source in this world. Thank you, Lord God. We want to bless you and honor you. Encourage your people, we pray. Amen.